This is Living the RV Dream, episode 222 for Friday, January 7th, 2022.
I'm riding in my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers, hello, fellow pelican heads, and happy travelers around the world, full-timers, part-timers, boondockers, van dwellers, weekend warriors, and if Drew is anywhere around, schoolie builders. Yeah, schoolies are all the rage these days. Even Nomadic Fanatic, I think, wants to build a schoolie, so that's great. Coming to you today once again before a live audience, probably for the last time in a while, unless all of a sudden the internet improves dramatically at Pelicamp or at the Tampa RV Show. As you know, I'm going to the Florida RV Super Show next week, or is it the week after? It's the Florida RV Super Show is going to be from the 19th, I believe, is Industry Day, and then from the 20th through the 23rd of January is going to be the regular days. And I have certain things in mind that I want to see. I just got an email that Winnebago is doing something with accessibility enhanced now with in camper vans. They used to have it in the big class A motorhomes, and Grand Design is partnering with Volta to do a very nice power system. I might do a tour of Lithionix, which is the battery systems that I have in my Micro Mini 2108 Flex. So lots of things planned here for the upcoming Tampa RV Super Show, and if you're going to be there, I hope to see you all there. I do believe Winnebago is going to have a towable meetup on Friday at 10 a.m. And I'm going to be there. It's supposed to be just for towables, but I'm sure they won't mind a couple of hundred of you showing up and crashing the party. And it's going to be a party. and if anything, if I figure out a way to do an organized meetup anywhere in Tampa, even at the fairgrounds, I'll let you know. So you know, make sure you subscribe to the main channel, to Traveling Robert, and join the Facebook group if you're on Facebook. Traveling Robert, and there's a Living the RV Dream podcast group on Facebook, but I think eventually I'm just gonna merge everything into Traveling Robert and Friends, which is the larger group, and we have a great community there with lots of people. You know, sometimes it gets out of hand, but for the most part, it's usually very civil and very, very pleasant conversation about travel and all, you know, this that we love to do so much. By the way, today coming to you before a live audience, and I want to talk a little bit about plans for 2022. I almost said 2021. Plans for 2022 and some of the national parks that I want to visit. And then I'm gonna open it up to the chat, and I'm gonna drop a link in the chat if anybody wants to come in and say hello, and you know, as long as we keep it travel related, it's all good. So yeah, some of the plans that I have for next year, of course, as you know, I wanna do part of the or the whole. I'm actually reading a book on the Kindle about the Lewis and Clark expedition. Fascinating stuff, and sometimes they weren't as perfect as we've been led to believe by history. They almost broke out an all out war with the Sioux Indians, or the Sioux Native Americans, apparently. So a fascinating read, and you know, I'm just dropping key places on the map. Of course, this is basically just an excuse to go back to the West, but with a purpose. You know, the idea is to go back to the West and visit places I've already been to, but I want to go together with Ely, and places that I haven't been to. For example, I did Mount Rushmore, but I didn't do Crazy Horse, so now we're gonna do Crazy Horse as well, and that kind of thing. And I came up with a list here of all the national parks that I've been to in no particular order, but I just went to their website and checked, you know, the ones that And one of the first ones that we visited was Denali National Park. That's in Alaska. And Denali, it has a peculiarity that they only let you drive in your own vehicle until a certain mile marker. I believe it's mile marker 11. But if you want to see the good part, you have to get on a bus. It's basically a tour bus. And it's one of those things that I wanted to go back in 2020. Of course, 2020 happened. Whenever I go back to Alaska, I do want to visit Denali National Park. And the main thing to see there, besides all the wildlife, is to see Mount Denali, or it used to be called Mount McKinley, and now it's Mount Denali, after they changed the name back to its Native American name, and it's the tallest peak in the Western Hemisphere, so that's something to see. And when we were there, we managed to see it for just a few minutes because it's usually covered in clouds, so we were very lucky. The next one, Grand Canyon National Park, and I'm going to put this in my top five, or my top. No, let's not do it like a list limited this says the RVDJ Delaware National Recreation Area is becoming a national park finally. I guess next year we're going to have to visit, or this year. But Grand Canyon is definitely my favorite. It was my first awe moment at a national park. And this was many years ago. I think it may have been like 2005. And we went to Las Vegas. And we took one of those plane tours that takes you to the Grand Canyon. And it's one of the most accessible to, you know, most of these national parks out west. If you want to see anything like awe-inspiring, you probably have to drive a lot or do a trail, a rather long trail. Here in the Grand National, it's crowded, but Grand Canyon, you just show up at the South Rim, at the visitor center, you walk 100 yards, and you are right there at Mather Point, which is probably one of the best views of the Grand Canyon. Another very accessible national park is Saguaro National Park. If you're into the desert, that classic desert vistas, Saguaro National Park is right there on the outskirts of Tucson, Arizona. Beautiful. And I wasn't only there for a couple of hours, but I truly enjoyed it, as well as Oregon Pipe, which is another national. It's a national monument. I don't know if it's considered a national park or a national monument, but it's another one very similar. And I really, really enjoyed that. As you know, I have a thing for saguaro cacti. I don't know why. And talking about saguaro cacti, let's talk about another type of cacti. Death Valley. Death Valley National Park is something that I didn't know I was going to enjoy so much. And this I would put also in my top national parks. There's so much variety. You have sand dunes, you have desert, you have that racetrack playa, which is the flattest, one of the flattest, if not the flattest place in North America or in the world, really. You have the lowest point in the western, in North America, really, which is the name escapes me, but it's there in Death Valley, and you're so close to the tallest mountain in the lower 48, which is Mount Whitney there, which is so close. So it's kind of one of those things. The lowest and the highest points are with them in the same state, within a couple hundred miles or whatnot. Another one that is pretty interesting, and it's relatively close to Southern California, is Joshua Tree. Joshua Tree, you know, when you enter, you're thinking, what could be so interesting about these trees? But they're very interesting trees. It's not just the U2 album, but you have these huge boulders all around the park and the Joshua Tree. And then in the far east part of the park, the southern part, you have this Cholla cactus garden, which Cholla are these cactus that they're very, very prickly and very beautiful, but very dangerous. You should take care. Let me go through some of this real quick here, because otherwise it's going to be a two-hour podcast, and I don't want to bore you guys today. But Redwood National Park, I was there briefly in California, there in the central coast, or northern coast rather. But more than the redwoods, I like that Avenue of the Giants. To me, that was a little more, even more impressive than Redwood National Park. But again, are this redwood, the tallest trees in the world, I believe. It's something that you have to see it in person, otherwise you don't realize. Pictures cannot convey. Same with Sequoia. Sequoia is one that I haven't been to, but it's another part. It's in the Sierra Nevada, and that's That's something that in the second section that I'm going to say the parts that I want to go coming in the following year. Now, after that, I have Yosemite, and we're in California, of course. These are kind of divided by state. And Yosemite, to me, it's also another top, probably number two after the Grand Canyon. It's one of those places that you don't realize until you're there, and you're like, it's one of the most awe-inspiring places. And if you've seen some of those Ansel Adams pictures of Half Dome and Yosemite Falls, and it's just breathtaking. The next one that I have here is in Colorado, and that's Mesa Verde National Park. Mesa Verde is more of a I want to say historic part. It's mostly about the cliff dwellings of the Pueblo people, the ancestral Pueblo people that lived there, I don't know, probably 500 years before the discovery of America by Columbus. So it's a pre-Columbine society from way back. And nobody really knows exactly why they migrated. They say that it was due to climate change at the time and the droughts and stuff like that. So a fascinating history. I'm going to go real quick here through the ones in Florida that I've been to, all of them. It's Biscayne National Park, Dry Tortugas, in the Everglades. And Biscayne National Park is mostly underwater, so I've only really visited the above water part. We did go on a boat to Stiltsville, which is a village that they used to be offshore here in Miami. And it's technically part of Biscayne National Park. But eventually, I do want to take that boat that takes you into Biscayne Bay, which is basically where it is. Dry Tortugas is that island off. You can take a 2.5 boat trip from Key West, and it's in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's probably closer to Cuba. No, it's not. But it's west. It's west of Key West, and there's that big fort there, and it's nice, there's good snorkeling and all that, but it's more for the historic fort and for the remoteness of the place. That's, to me, the main thing. Everglades, it's some parts are very interesting, but once you see the alligators and all the... I mean, going winter time when the alligators are around. And to me, my favorite part is a loop drive in Big Cypress, Big Cypress National Preserve, and because that loop drive, you'll see everything. You see all the great, you know, great blue herons and cranes and all the nice birds, until you see plenty of gators. And you know, just respect the gator. Don't be afraid of it, but respect it. You know, don't bother it. That's the main thing. The next one I have here is Grand Teton National Park, which should go together with Yellowstone. And those two parks together, it should be bucket list for everybody. And I put those two together just because they're so close to each other, not because they're similar. But those are in my top five for sure. The Tetons are beautiful mountains. There's great hiking, and of course they're near the town of Jackson Hole, which is a nice town. And then you have Yellowstone, which also has so many different what would you call that, environments, and no, that's not the world, ecosystems. You know, you have the part where you have all the geysers, but then you have Lamar Valley, which could be a national park all unto itself, where you'll see the herds of bison and antelopes and all kinds of animals. And then you have the Yellowstone Lake area, which is another beautiful area. It also has like springs and geysers, but it's amazing. And the northern part, which is a little more mountainous, as you get to Mammoth Spring in the north. And that's another national park that is kind of out of the way of all of this is Mammoth Cave in Kentucky. The cave itself is not as impressive as another cave that I'm going to talk about, but it is the largest cave that we know of in the United States, or I don't know if they said the world, probably the United States. And it is in Kentucky. You know, it's apparently most of Kentucky underground is full of these types of caves. But Mammoth Cave, it's to me, Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico, that would have to be the most impressive cave that I've ever seen in the world. I mean, put together all the great caves of the world into one, and this is it. You have all the rock formations, stalagmites, stalactites, and some of it looks like it's a work of art. That huge room, I believe it is one of the largest underground rooms that has ever been discovered. So that's quite something to see. That's Carlsbad. Now, another one of my favorite, Glacier National Park. Glacier National Park has to be... it's one of those that is just about the like Yosemite, like Zion. It's about the breathtaking beauty of the place. And when I went, you know, it was the year of COVID. It was 2020, so half of the park was closed. A lot of the trails were closed. So that one I want to go back to and really explore, like, a lot more. I gotta get me a cough button here for the podcast. But we're recording live. I'm not editing anything out. The next one that I want to talk about is the Great Smoky Mountains. It's free. It's a huge park straddling the border of Tennessee and North Carolina. I've been there several times, and spoiler alert, there is a good chance I'm going to be going in winter now. I've never seen the Great Smoky Mountains all snowed in, so that's going to be something to see for sure. So I'm looking forward to that, to going back to the Great Smokies in winter. And of course, there's the cool on the Tennessee side. There's Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, super developed. Gatlinburg tourist trap, but it's a good one, and they have a lot of things to do besides all the kitschy tourist trappy attractions. You know, there's good restaurants and good moonshine. And then on the other side, you have Cherokee, which is more of, you know, it's in the Native American Cherokee. It's a little more laid back, a little more culture based, and that kind of thing. Let me go real quick here through the rest. I'm gonna the one in North Dakota, Theodore Roosevelt National Park. It's the Badlands. It's the Badlands, and of course, there's the Badlands in South Dakota. And those two parks, I believe the ones in South Dakota are a little more impressive, a little more awe-inspiring. But Badlands National Park and Theodore Roosevelt. Theodore Roosevelt also because of the historic fact that it's the only one named after a president, you know, Theodore Roosevelt, the one that actually basically promoted the whole idea of having national parks. And for the benefit and enjoyment of the people, which, by the way, in Yellowstone, they have that arch, the Theodore Roosevelt arch. But in this park, Theodore Roosevelt actually used to have a ranch, and the ruins of that ranch you can visit. It's about a mile hike, and you can visit in that Theodore Roosevelt National Park in North Dakota. North Dakota was one of the last states that I visited. I've been to Cuyahoga Valley. That's in Ohio. It's also very nice. We did a couple of hikes. Beautiful waterfalls. There's now the five great national parks, and this is another bucket list. And maybe we should put these five together as my number five. And that's the five great national parks in Utah: Arches, Bryce, Canyonlands, Capitol Reef, and Zion. I'm kind of bummed out that now in Arches National Park you're gonna have to make a reservation to be able to go in. But these are some of the most amazing rock formations that you've ever seen. Of course, I've been to Arches. I went to that trip that we did back in 2014. We very briefly visited Bryce Canyon, which is like another place. It's not really a canyon. It's just this area with, I don't know what they call a canyon, because technically it's not a canyon, but you have all these hoodoo rock formations. At the time that we went, we didn't have a chance to do any hikes, but now that we're going in, probably, I don't know exactly where we're going, but I want to go this year. We want to do some of the hikes. Of course, Canyonlands, also amazing. Capitol Reef is the one that you can actually drive through. But we've driven through a couple of times, never done any hikes. And then the last one, Zion. Zion, of course, I famously did that Angel's Landing in the snow. And some people think I'm crazy. I think it's one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life. And I'm probably not going to do it again, especially now that you have to make a reservation or there's a lottery. You know, a lot of these hikes that are so crowded, more and more, you know, they're restricting access and you have to make reservations. And that kind of takes away from the spontaneity and the fun of it, but it is what it is. A lot of people discover these places, and the more and more people want to go, the more crowded it gets. Shenandoah National Park in Virginia, that's kind of a continuation of the Blue Ridge Parkway in North Carolina. And it's a beautiful drive, some beautiful hikes, beautiful campgrounds in that area. I recommend it. Olympic National Park in Washington State. I pretty much only, it's a kind of spread out throughout the Olympic Peninsula, but one of the parts that I did that was beautiful is the Hurricane Ridge, which is kind of a short drive from Port Angeles, and from up there, you're up there in elevation, you can even see onto Canada on a clear day, you can see Victoria there on Vancouver Island, so... It's a beautiful. There has it has an area also by the beach, which is kind of an interesting beach because you have this forest, this very thick forest that comes all the way right up to the beach. So, it's Olympic National Park. Acadia, I was expecting more. Acadia, I'm gonna get some backlash for this one. I didn't think Acadia was all that incredible. As I thought it would be, but then again, it was that trip that it was a two month trip that turned into 2 week trip when old Kia died, and when I went to Cadillac Mountain to see the first sunrise, it was foggy. You know, it wasn't the greatest trip. I have to give Acadia a second chance for sure. And the last one, which is the newest one, and we visited that one last year. That's the New River Gorge in West Virginia. And when I visited, it was still a New River Gorge National Monument, I believe. And now it's a full-blown national park. So those are some of the national parks that I visited. And my favorites, of course, is Grand Canyon. The ones in Utah, I have to say Glacier and Yosemite. And Yellowstone and Grand Teton. I cannot make a top five list because it's so hard to decide when you have so many great national parks, especially out west. It's incredible. Now for this trip after Lewis and Clark, I want to in Oregon, I want to do Mount Rainier and Crater Lake. No, well, hold on. Mount Rainier is in Washington. So we're going to go up to Washington to Mount Rainier and then down to Crater Lake in Oregon. It's one of the ones that I've been wanting to see for a long time. And then I'm thinking Great Basin. Well, before Great Basin, we're going to do Sequoia in California. And this is going to be kind of like the dead of summer. So it's the best time of the year to do Great Basin. And then Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado. And if I can make it to Big Bend, and that's in Texas, Big Bend probably better in winter or like in the shoulder season. I hear it gets really hot in summer. And that's right there by a big bend of the Rio Grande. It's something, it's kind of bucket list for me. All right, that's all I wanted to say about the national parks, about our plans for the upcoming year here, and now let me take a look at the chat here and read some of your comments. I mentioned earlier the RV DJ Delaware National Recreation Area is becoming a national park finally, and. I suppose I was relatively close when I did the East Coast. By the way, it's been kind of a productive November and December here. I've been editing a lot of video, and I'm kind of like three videos ahead. And right now, I'm editing the I just lost my train of thought reading the chat. I'm gonna start to edit Vermont. Vermont was an amazing state. So we're going to do Vermont, New Hampshire, and then the East Coast. And that drive down the East Coast was kind of bucket list. We did a little bit of a rush, but yeah. Okay, here we have a message from Christopher Olson. Which national park was the biggest surprise to you in a positive way? I think I'm going to say Joshua Tree. Actually, more than Joshua Tree. Death Valley. Death Valley. I went with kind of with low expectations for Death Valley. I thought, well, yeah, let's see this desert and then the you know the lowest point in the United States. You know, I don't know, 500 feet on below sea level. It's something like crazy like that. I forget. You know, my memory is not what it used to be, but. And for the life of me, I cannot remember the name of the, and I don't want to Google it right now, but I should, right? Because and I'm lowest place in North America, a Badwater Basin. Bad. Here we go. Badwater Basin is 282 feet or 86 meter for those of you. In the metric world, below sea level, and it's a great, it's a beautiful place because you're walking on this. It looks like sand, but it's really salt, and I tasted it, so I can prove that it is really salt, and it's beautiful. But it's not just that. You have, as I said, the racetrack playa area. You have some of these all these areas that are like out of a different planet. You know, it's like someone painted the on the rocks, and then you have sand dunes. It is a huge place, and it's the one that I didn't know I was going to enjoy it and like it so much. So, okay, I'm reading here in the chat, Luis Hernandez, and this one's in Spanish. I'm going to translate. Muy bonitos paisajes en Estados Unidos, sobre todo Colorado. Beautiful places in United States, especially Colorado. And I do agree, Colorado is one of the most beautiful states, especially that area that I went, you know, that, I mean, there's so many places in Colorado. You know, I love the mountains, and if the weather is good. But I really enjoyed that area between Durango and Silverton and Ouray, which is it's called the Switzerland of America, and it's a beautiful, beautiful town. It's a it has a, this street on a hill, and it is Colorado, and that's one of the states that I want to visit on my way back from Lewis and Clark. I'm gonna go west, you know, following the Missouri River and then the Columbia River, but then I'm coming south, and I'm kind of you know gonna cross the Rockies back on I-70, which if there was ever an interstate highway that was beautiful, that's the one interstate to take. And you know, interstate highways, generally speaking, are a very efficient way to go from one end to the of the country to the other without seeing anything. But in this case, that Glenwood Canyon is it's a rub on the rub. I love visiting ruins. Yes, and I want to visit more ghost town. There's a lot of ghost towns out west. And let me tell you, I'm seeing all these posts of all these people on Facebook and on YouTube that are out there. In Arizona, in Quartzsite, and different places, and I'm like, I kind of wish I was there, you know. I kind of committed to going to the Tampa RV show, but a part of me wants to be out there in the desert. That's like my happy place. And Rob on the Road says more footfall means more erosion and undoubtedly more litter and graffiti. Yeah, and I mean we could probably do something about that, but yeah, the erosion definitely happens, and litter and graffiti, I wish that they would enforce, you know, nowadays, you know, we could kind of try to enforce that people don't do that, but what can you do? In any case, I'm gonna drop a link here on the chat. If any of you has any questions, wants to come online and talk to us on the live stream here, you're more than welcome. But while you do that, I'm gonna play back some of your voicemail right here. I have some voicemail here in the inbox, and hopefully the technology doesn't fail us.
Robert Anthony Giordano here from Rochester, New York. I just wanted to tell you, I just finished seeing the second Upstate New York episode. I loved it. You used all your bells and whistles. You got all the great scenes perfectly with your camera, and I just loved it. So I wanted to call and let you know. And oh, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, Ely. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony.
And Ely. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you for your message. And yeah, definitely, Anthony, of course, he took us to that place where they served the garbage plate in Rochester. And he was a great host. And we enjoyed our time in upstate New York.
Robert, I was just turned on to your videos over the Christmas weekend. And I'm thinking about getting an RV and traveling around, and I just want to know some rules of the road and some helpful hints in my endeavor. Anyway, take care of yourself. Safe travels.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry, for that message. And we have a message here on the chat from Christopher Olson. Have you visited Rio Grande National Forest? No, I haven't yet. Actually, I don't even think it's on my radar, but I'm definitely going to look it up, because if I'm going to be in the area, probably not this year on the way back, but maybe next year, early in the year, we're going to go back to the West. 2023, that's part of the winter. And we're really thinking about planning something to go to Europe at some point in 2023. Maybe in spring. I don't know. The other night I was watching someone's video from Europe, and I came up with this crazy idea about getting an RV in Europe and finding like cheap storage. And you know, go maybe with friends or whatnot, and go every year, you know, go every year for a couple of weeks or a month to Europe and do a part of Europe, and not having to rent an RV that could be defective and whatnot, you know, our own RV. I don't know. It's a costly endeavor, but I've been thinking about it.
Hi, Robert. Dylan here from the Greater Toronto area in Pickering. And I have a question today. My first question is, if there were to be a Minnesota lounge on Saturday, January 8th, are you going to sing King Bada by Kelly Cruz? And my second question is, what are you, in terms of the Omicron variant, are you... Are you planning to reconsider the trip idea to the south, doing the southeast this winter? And my final question is, what is your plan for, if you do go to Alaska in 2023, are you going to buy a new trailer, or are you actually going to take Minnesota 1 with you? Yes, and today is Saturday, January 1st. 2022. Happy New Year, everybody. And by the time you're hearing this, it'll be Friday, January 7th, 2022. I just want to wish Robert, if so, I don't know if this question will be asked on Friday, because I might appear on the podcast again. So that's all, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Dylan. Thank you for your message. And of course, Dylan is also on the live stream, so he might pop up here at the end of the podcast as well. About Omicron, let me tell you, I'm mostly worried about maybe the Tampa show is going to be crowded there and a lot of people, but the hope is, I mean, these things usually, these spikes or surges or whatever they want to call them, usually last just a few weeks or months. I'm confident by spring, we're gonna be in a much better position, but we'll see. And what was up? Minitini Lounge. Yeah, there's a very good chance. I'm not going to promise 100% yet, but there's a very good chance we're going to do a Minitini Lounge this Saturday, the January 8th. Which, by the way, is my mom's birthday, but she's gonna be like 87 years old, and she just came back from Dubai. Crazy, but she had a great time, but it was a taxing trip on her for sure. But very likely we're gonna, because this is the thing, I was gonna depart for Pelicamp on Sunday, and if it is the you know, the meditating, I was just kind of taxing on my body. And usually the next day, I'm usually a little tired sometimes. So I didn't want to travel 425 miles on the day right after the Minitini Lounge, and we have to pack a lot of stuff. So so since we are leaving 2 days later now, I'm most likely, I'll give you 90% we're going to have a Minitini Lounge.
Hi, Robert. This is Richard in Las Vegas. I used to live in Miami Beach, born and raised. I stumbled across your YouTube videos, and I just can't get those songs out of my head. Terrific. I go to Quartzsite every year. I love the West, but I was born in Miami Beach. Take care. Stay healthy. Keep up the good work. Good night.
Thank you, Richard, and from Miami Beach, and I do love the weather. That's probably something people, like, you know, from Florida, which is humid and flat, we kind of like it, you know, mountainous and dry, I guess. You know, you tend to appreciate what you don't have, but yes, definitely, definitely I love the West, and that's why I'm going. Mike Wilson, your mom and Elvis have the same birthday. Yes, and I do believe they were born the same year also as well. So what a coincidence. That's Mike Wilson in the chat here. And yeah, that's why she was such an Elvis fan, or is an Elvis fan, you know, but was when Elvis was alive and is still. So so yeah, well, how many? We have only 13 of you watching here in the chat. This YouTube channel, of course, it's still getting started here. In any case, I'm going to start wrapping this up. If anybody else wants to chat, I'm going to drop that link one more time. But meanwhile, here we have live with us, and Dylan, keep it travel related and keep it short. We have Dylan here live with us on the live stream.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, Dylan, how are you, man?
Doing good. Well, in terms of travel, I have been recommending some provincial parks in Ontario. Pinery Provincial Park, which is not too far from Grand Bend. And some national parks in Canada would be Banff and Jasper.
Oh, no, yeah, definitely Banff and Jasper. You know, I wanted to go to those on my way to Alaska, but, you know, Alaska is being delayed indefinitely, at least until probably next year. So, but I definitely, and I definitely, you know, I hear the north shore of Lake Superior. It's also beautiful, you know, all that, the northern part of the Great Lakes. So whenever it's possible and safe, Dylan, I'm definitely going to be visiting you up in Canada. So you can count on that.
Yes. So, yes. And I would actually recommend that maybe doing more of the Greater Toronto area, more Eastern Ontario like last time.
Mm-hmm. I definitely want to do Toronto again. I want to do the 1,000 islands on the St. Lawrence River. I did a cruise last time I was there, but I want to do the cruise that takes you to the Bald Castle and all the nicer islands. So anyway, Dylan, thank you for coming on the show.
Well, you know, one more thing is that there's also the Canadian National Exhibition in 2022 or 23 is in August and in September.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, you want you to come during that time period?
That would be cool. Yeah, it's nice and warm. Yeah, definitely. I'll be back on the East Coast by then, so we'll definitely do that. All right, Dylan, thank you. I'm going to start wrapping it up here on the podcast. Thank you all for coming into the live stream. Actually, I'm gonna leave. No, not here on the live stream. I cannot make it sound good with the setup that I have right now. It's gonna be on the actual podcast that you guys are gonna listen to from Friday morning, which is where this will live on. And this is a new tune. I just composed a new tune for Vermont and New Hampshire. It's gonna be called, I mean, that's the name that I came up with. It's gonna be called Autumn in New England. And if you're listening to the podcast version, you're going to start listening to it right now. In any case, until next week, thank you so much for listening. And see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle, because I'm free. my RV.